Again, I'm Herm Kavanoff. I'm taking over for Trent McOtter, who unfortunately couldn't make it to this convention this year. As far as I know, there's nothing on the agenda other than my presentation. So I guess we can start with that. And so what I'm going to be speaking to you about today is revisiting the psychology of round numbers as goals, achieving a 300 batting average. First, I want to acknowledge some people. Retrosheet.org, the Retrosheeters, enablers of baseball research. BaseballReference.com, specifically the Stathead search engineers, enablers of baseball research. And then four individuals, Jeff Robbins, Dave Smith, Gary Stone, and Patrick Todgen. Okay, let's get the ball rolling. In 2011, Devin Pope and Yuri Simonson wrote an article with the title Round Numbers as Goals, Evidence from Baseball Sat Takers in the Lab. It was published in Psychological Science, and their conclusion for the baseball portion was, overall, the behavior of baseball players proved consistent with the hypothesis that a round number, such as a batting average of 300, can act as a goal that influences behavior. To me, as a baseball enthusiast and researcher, the two most important words in this conclusion are influences behavior, which I immediately thought of as being a synonym for hits in the clutch. Here's what Pope and Simonson had to say further. We hypothesize, I'm apologizing for reading all this, but it's important that we get this straight. We hypothesize that because round numbers are cognitive reference points in numerical scales, they also act as reference points in the process of subjectively judging outcomes. We conjectured that, as a result of this process, people with a performance score just short of a round number will be more likely to exert effort to improve their measured performance, than people with performance score just above a round number. So my take on this is baseball players with a batting average just short of a round number 300, 299, will be more likely to exert effort to improve their batting performance than players with a batting average just over 300, i.e. a personal clutch hitting situation. Pope and Simonson continued, we tested this prediction by studying professional baseball players, and the results showed the expected relationship between performance relative to a round number and exertion of effort to increased measured performance. The effects we documented were significant, both statistically and in practical terms. For example, we found that professional batters are nearly four times as likely to end the season with a 300 batting average than they are to end the season with a 299 average, as given in figure one. This is their figure one. Figure one shows the percentage of all players who achieved a particular batting average from 280 through 320. There are two plots here. The solid black line gives the batting average for the player at the end of the season, the final batting average. The gray line gives the batting average of the players with five plate appearances left in the season. Now, two things jumped out, at least for me, on this. One, the first is the inflections for 299 and 300. The 299 batting average is somewhat lower than the prevailing trend. The 300 batting average is quite a bit higher than the prevailing trend. The second point is that the batting average with five plate appearances left do not show these inflections. So the batting averages of 299 and 300 and the final five plate appearances are special. Sounds like clutch hitting to me, late and close. Here's some more from Pope and Simonson on how they did their research. The research of Pope and Simonson focused on players with batting averages around 300, the roundest number in that range. That is the most commonly achieved round number in the range comprised of round numbers of 200, 300, and 400. to ensure a sufficiently granular comminuted batting average, and that means a sufficient number of each individual batting average from a statistical analysis perspective, was restricted to players who had at least 200 at-bats during the season. They obtained their play-by-play data for all Major League players from 1975 to 2008 from RetroSheet's regular season event files. They reported that their sample size was 8,817 player seasons. I'll come back to that in a bit. They found that, quote, season averages were markedly less likely to be just below 300 than just above 300. For example, they found the percentage of players ending the season with a 298 or 299.97% was lower than the percentage of players ending the season with a 300 or 301, 2.30%. They also reported there was a, quote, marked increase between 299, 0.38%, and 300, 1.40%, which implies that batters are nearly four times as likely to end with a 300 than with a 299 average. Pope and Simonson also concluded, quote, our findings were consistent with the notion that players use round numbers as goals and suggest that players find a way in their last few scheduled plate appearances to ensure that they finish above 300. Here's some more from them. Pope and Simonson further stated, in the last scheduled plate appearance of the season, a higher percentage of players achieved a base hit when their average was 299 or 298 or 299, 35.2%, than when their average was 300 or 301, 22.4%. Furthermore, the percentage of players with a batting average of 299 who got a base hit, 43%, was higher than the overall percentage of all other players, i.e. players who had averages between 280 and 320, who did so, 22.8%. And then, somewhat buried in a footnote, or an endnote, Pope and Simonson stated, note that our calculations of the outcomes of the last scheduled plate appearance of the season included in the denominator all possible outcomes, outs, hits, walks, and substitutions. For example, figure 2A, and I'll show you figure 2A as well as B and C in momentarily. Figure 2A, the scheduled last plate appearance resulting in a base hit percent versus batting average before last scheduled plate appearance of the season, shows that 27% of batters with a 300 average obtained a base hit in their last scheduled plate appearance. This is different from the batting average of the last at bat, which excludes both walks and substitutions in the denominator. We chose to include these walks and substitutions to avoid the selection bias that would be introduced by batters who decided whether to bat or walk or be pinch hit for as a function of their current batting average. Now this is my italics and my emphasis here, but it's their words. This correction, however, does not take into account further selection bias arising from batters who may decide to miss entire games after obtaining their desired batting average. And Pope and Simonson also stated this. The high percentage, high base hit percentage for 299 batters depicted in figure 2A, which I'll show momentarily, therefore is likely to be at least partially explained by batters ending their season prematurely when they obtain the desired goal, rather than by players actually exerting effort and batting more successfully when they had not. Okay, let's look at figure 2A. Figure 2A is the scheduled last plate appearance resulting in a base hit, and you can see that for 299, it's 43.4%, 43%, 300 is about 27%. So 29 is more. Higher percentage of them get a hit. For walks, they found zero. 29 batters, none of them walked. And they emphasize that with the arrow. This is their arrow, their emboldened arrow pointing to the zero. With regard to substitution, this is figure 2C, 300 batters, they were 34.3%, I believe it is, from the graph, bar graph, whereas only 7% of the 299 hitters were replaced by substitutes. Okay, I'm going to put this into a table so we can look at it a bit more easily, I think. So for the last scheduled plate appearance, batters with a 299 average get a hit 43% of the time, do not walk, get replaced or sub four 7% of the time, and make an out 50% of the time. For 300 average batters, the numbers are 27% for a hit, 8% for a walk, 34.3% for being subbed, and about 31% for being put out. I'll come back to this chart in a bit, this table. But first I want to just point out the importance of getting a hit when you're batting 299. If you're batting 299, anywhere from 200 bats to over 700 bats, if you get a hit, you will bat 300. You'll reach 300. And if at your last at bat, you'll make 300. That's it. On the other side, if you're a 300 hitter and you make an out in your next at bat, and if it's your last at bat, you almost certainly will fall below 300. Not every time. If you have enough at bats, like between 600 and 700 bats, you can afford to go hitless, because you'll drop maybe half a point. You can still have a toenail 300. All right, so now let's go back to the table I made up from Pope and Simons' data on their figure. So players with a 299 batting average collected 400 of them. If there were 100 of them, they collected 43 of them got a hit, and 50 of them made an out. So 43 divided by 93 is a 462 batting average. That's collectively. 462 batting average collectively. That's huge. The 300 hitters, 27 divided by 58, gives you a 466 batting average. That's huge. That's huge. So my take on that is these percentage data, not the batting averages, but the 43, 27, etc., which afford extraordinarily high last at bat batting averages, apparently led Pope and Simonson to suggest, quote, that players with round number influenced behavior find a way, exert effort, clutch hitting perhaps, in their last few, five, or even their last, scheduled plate appearance to ensure that they finish above 300. So the question I asked, let me just say this. Pope and Simonson, all they have here are percentages. There are no numbers, with the 43% is of what, and there are no player names. So my question is, who were these players who collectively batted 462 and 466 in their last scheduled plate appearance? So that gets me to my objectives. First, revisit the Pope and Simonson work covering the 1975 to 2008 seasons. Extend the research back to 1920 and up through 2022. Ascertain the ratios of the number of players with a final 300 batting average to the number of players with a final 299 batting average, chronologically, on that decade-by-decade basis. And four, endeavor to answer that question. Identify the group of players who batted 462 or 466 in their final at-bat of the season. And finally, another objective is examine the performance of players A, who played their team's entire final game of the season, and whose final batting average, 300 or 299, depended on their final at-bat, hit or out. I mean, you can't get any more, I guess, clutch than that, right? One way or the other. All right, here's the research procedures I followed. Number one, utilize Baseball Reference, the StatHead search engine. Ascertain players who achieved specific batting averages. Utilize RetroSheet, the player daily files, batter by batter, play by play narratives, team game logs. Ascertain the specific details for the players achieving their final batting averages and what they did in their final five plate appearances. Okay, here are some of my results. When I did my searching on this, I found 10,056 player seasons with greater than 200 bats in a given season using the Baseball Reference website, the StatHead search engine, whereas Pope and Simonsen said it was 8,817 player seasons. So there's a big difference there. Pope and Simonsen obtained their 8,817 player seasons number from RetroSheet on March 17th, 2010. I obtained my 10,056 player seasons from Baseball Reference starting about September 12th, and it still holds even today. There's a difference of 1,239 player seasons, just over 36 seasons, 36 per season. Now, Baseball Reference uses RetroSheet for their database. So I wrote to Dave Smith and I asked him about the RetroSheet database on March 17th, 2010. Dave wrote back the next day and said, the RetroSheet database was complete on that date, March 17th, 2010, for those seasons, 1975 to 2008, and would match the current data completely. The only explanation I can think of is that they compiled their totals incorrectly. There may be an issue with the Baseball Reference program, but I have no knowledge of that whatsoever. Well, that's right, there could be an issue with the Baseball Reference program. I asked Dave then to do a spot check on four seasons, 1977, 87, 97, and 2007, to compare my Baseball Reference numbers with the current RetroSheet numbers for total players with 200 or more at bats and players who played for multiple teams in a given season. Dave responded the next day, saying that, I checked those four seasons and agree with your numbers in all cases. He then repeated my numbers. It could very well be that they mishandled the multi-team players. Baseball Reference gives 763 players who played with two or more teams in a given season, including 328 who played in both the AL and NL. I have complete confidence in the numbers I have from Baseball Reference, and grateful thanks to Dave, if you're here, for your superb baseball research enabling help. Okay, let's now look at the round numbers. For 1975 through 2008, I found that players who batted, there were 228 players who finished with 300, 301 batting averages, 2.27%. Pope and Simonsen claimed 2.30%. I found 92 players with 298, 299 batting averages, 0.91%. Pope and Simonsen had 0.97%. The ratio of the two, 300 or 301 to 299 or 298, I came up with 2.48 to 1. Simonsen had 2.37 to 1, which they then emphasized as being nearly 4 to 1. I'm sorry, that's not correct. They didn't, not that time. So these numbers are, the differences are not worth quibbling about. Turning now to the 300 to 200 to 300 versus 299 ratio, my ratio was 4.15 to 1. Pope and Simonsen got 3.68 to 1, what they claimed is nearly 4 to 1. All right. What about 1920 through 1974? My numbers a little bit less for 1920 to 74 for the 300-301, 1.74 versus 2.27. For 298 and 299, my number's a bit higher, 1.39 versus 0.91, and the ratio is much less, 1.25 to 1 versus 2.48 to 1. For the 300 to 299 rate comparison, I got 0.875 versus 1.40 for 20 to 74 versus 75 through 2008. For the 299, I got 0.68 versus 0.34, so twice as much. And the ratio of 300 to 299 batters, batting average batters, was 1.29 to 1 instead of 4.15 to 1. So maybe back from this is telling me that from the period from 1920 to 1975, the goal of reaching 300 was not as strong for the players in 1920 through 75 as it was for the players in 1975 through 2008. For the 2009 to 22 seasons, there are similar numbers. I can not have to go through all these. I can just, that's for 329. Here's a table that summarizes it all. A to B, 1.25 compared to 2.48 to 1 compared to 1.60 to 1. And for the C to D, this is 300 to 299, 1.29 to 1 versus 4.15 to 1 versus 2.47 to 1. Clearly a chronological effect is operating here. And the next chart shows this on a decade-by-decade basis. So in the 1920s, the ratio was less than 1, 0.62 to 1. It climbed up to 2.67 during the 1940s before coming back down to even Steven 1 to 1 in 1960s decade, and then went back up during the 70s through the 90s, getting up to almost 6 to 1 in the 1990s before tapering off again during the 2000s and 2010s. There's probably a lot of different explanations one can come up with this. I have some thoughts on this. We can talk about it later if you'd like. I want to go back now to my chart here. Who were the players who collectively batted 462 and 466? Let's find out. So let's start off with the 299 batters. Here's a chart of 299 batters who got a hit in their final scheduled plate appearance. As you can see, they all had as you'd expect, they all reached a final batting average of over 300. The GNP column, GNP stands for games not played, gives the number of games that the player did not play after he had his last scheduled plate appearance. Okay? For instance, George Hendrick had 4 games not played. Hendrick went 5-for-5 in his last game of the season to reach 300, and then his manager, Ken Boyer, kept him out of the lineup the remaining 4 games to protect his 300 batting average. Lenny Dykstra missed 46 games because of a broken bone in his hand. Okay, here's the second group of players who got a hit. Again, they all reached the cherished 300 batting average. Now we'll go to walks. No players with walks, just like Pope and Simonson did. How about players being replaced? Found 11 players who were replaced. And curious to me is each of these 11 players, had they batted and gotten a hit, would have been 300 hitters. So, but they were replaced. Now the PAA column, that gives you plate appearances avoided. So once you are replaced, you no longer have any plate appearances to avoid, to be replaced. But you notice that many of these are, most of them are over 1. So players were replaced when they would have had more plate appearances during the game. But rather than take those plate appearances and run the risk of losing 300, they were replaced to keep their, they were replaced even though they didn't get the 300. I don't understand it, but that's what it is. All right, players who made an out. So now they have a 299 batting average, and they want to get 300. And if they get a hit, you'll see that they do, the purple column. The final batting average is when they did not get a hit. That's what they got. And they're all less than 300, as you'd expect. Likewise for this the second group here, the third group. And so there were 34 players in that third group. So these are my numbers. Comparing them with the Pope and Simonson numbers. Now again, the number column gives the number of players. Well, Pope and Simonson reported no numbers, so there are question marks there. I have the numbers there with player names. Big difference between the percentage of players who got a hit. They claim 43, I claim 28.6, and I can prove it with the player names I have. They for players being subbed, they said about 7%. I say 17.4. I can prove it. Players who made an out in their last scheduled plate appearance, they said about 50. I have 54, so that's pretty close. If you take a look at the final batting average from my work, so 18 divided by 52 is 346. So that's a little bit, that's more than 300, which are what they're going in with, or roughly going in with. So that may be a little bit of clutch hitting there. Let's go look at 300 hitters now. Players who got a hit. They all had 300s going in, and they had 300s coming out. They did. They took the chance, okay? Many of these players, even if they had made an out, would still have been 300 hitters. It would have had toenail 300, 299, 5-4, something like that, okay? Players who drew a base on balls. Six players listed here, five of them drew walks. Cruz, Cole, Jaha, Palmeiro, and Rodriguez. Rusty Greer was hit by a pitch. I've included him just for complete list. Players who were replaced. There are 11 players on each of these charts, and you can see there the possible batting average. That gives you the batting average that they would have achieved had they not been replaced and made an out. So the ones in purple, they would have retained their 300 batting average, so there's five of them. Six of them would have lost the 300, so it was a good thing they were replaced. They kept the 300. The next chart, a similar story. And the next chart, likewise, and you see here, there's only 9 of the 11 would have lost their 300 had they not been replaced and made an out. Likewise here, for this fourth group, the fifth group, and the sixth group. There's six players here, so 6 plus 55 is 61 players who were replaced. Players who made an out, this is with a 300, and again, it's not all doom and gloom when you make an out with 300. Most of the players here, they made an out, but because they had enough at bats, and they were 300 or a little bit higher, they could retain their 300 batting average. Likewise for this group here, only one person actually lost his 300. That was Mark Grizzolani, and he missed 52 games because of an injury, so he might not have had that situation otherwise. Here's a summary for the 300 hitters. Again, Pope and Simonson have no numbers. I have numbers. Percentage-wise, getting a hit, Pope and Simonson said 27. I say 8.5. Walks were pretty close, 8 versus 6.4. Sub-4, they say 34.3. I have nearly double that, 64.9. And for being making it out, they have 31. I have 20.2. And if you look at the collective batting average, so the 8 divided by 27, it's 296, which is what you'd expect for a 300 or 29 hitter, right? That's what they're going to hit. So, but we, as I said before, if you're not hitting 300, if you are hitting 300 and you want to keep it, unless you're 300.48, you're likely to lose it, okay? Let's go to objective number 5 now. Examine the performance of players who played their team's final game of the season in its entirety and whose final batting average, 300 or 299, depended on their final at-bat, hit or out. That's it, only two choices. Okay, here's the first chart. There are 7 players listed here. 3 of the players came through with hits. Cecil Cooper, Barry Bonnell, and Dan Dreesen. The other 4 players made outs and therefore lost or did not get a 300, okay? So 3 out of the 7 players got a hit. That gives you a batting average of 429, pretty robust. The next group, also of 7, 2 players got hits, Dusty Baker and Joe Ursulak. That lowered the collective batting average to 357. Still pretty hefty, but not 400. Next group, there was 6 people in this group, 6 players. Jose Cruz kept his 300, but he did it by walking. And Jerry Brown did not gain 300 because he hit a sacrifice bunt. The newspaper articles said that he gave it up for the team, gave up his 300 for the team by sacrificing. I wonder if he was bunting for a hit. I don't know that, okay? I'm not. In any event, it was 0-for-4 for the batters who actually had an at bat. That lowered the cumulative batting average to 278, so below 300. The next group was only 1 player did it out of the 6. That was Will Clark. That lowered the collective batting average to 250, pretty pedestrian. Well, that stopped for the next group. Here there were 2 players got it. 1 player hit a sacrifice fly, so it was 2 out of 5. That raised the batting average up to 276, a bit more respectable. And then the next group, there were 7 players. Wally Joyner walked, so he does not have an at-bat there, but 3 of the other players did get hits. Robin Ventura, Bobby Higginson, and Brent Maine. So that brought the average, the collective batting average up to 314. The next group, again, three out of the seven got hits. That raised the collective batting average to 333. And now the next group, nobody. So now the batting average is again below 300, 292 collective batting average. And again, these are all players' names. These are players. They're not just empty numbers. The next group, two of the six got hits, Lyle Overbay and Moises Alou. That brought the average up to 296, just a tad below 300. In the last group, just three of them, Ivan Rodriguez got a walk to keep his 300. Gomez and Spilborst made outs and fell below 300, or did not achieve 300. So the final batting average, collectively, for these 300 or bust critical last at bat players was 286. Let's summarize. There were 61 players. 18 players finished with a 300 batting average, under a third. The collective batting average was 286, not close to 462 or 466. Now, I happen to have I like 400 at bats better than 200 at bats, but it didn't make any difference. So 32 players had more than 400 at bats. The collective batting average was the same, 286, not close to 462 to 466. Here's my preliminary conclusion. Preliminary. The collective influence behavior and exerted effort was not clutch hitting. What was it? We got to get to 4-1. So I got 10 charts here with 14 players on each chart, except for one chart has 15, which gives the information for the 141 players who batted 300 at the end of the season in the 1975 to 2008 period. The middle column gives the last five plate appearances. All the numbers are there, and we'll come to the bottom line at the end. I want to focus on players who, these are all 300 hitters, but I'm going to focus on players who played in their last, who had no avoided plate appearances and had no games unplayed. So Dan Dreesen, Cecil Cooper, and Barry Bonnell each did that. 14 players here, those three did not end our season prematurely. 11 players did. 11 of the 14 ended prematurely. The next chart, there are five players who played the whole season. That means nine players ended the season prematurely. Next chart, three, and there's 15 players here. So 12 of the players ended the season prematurely, keeping a 300. Next chart, two of the 14 played the whole season, therefore 12 did not. 12 ended the season early. 11 ended it early here. 11 ended it early here. 12 ended it early here. 10, is that 10? 11, 10. 10 ended it early here. And now we're back to 10 again. And now 12. Summarizing, 141 players hit 300 in the 75 to 2008 period. 75 played in their team's final game. 31 of them played in their team's final game in its entirety, and 44 left early. 66 players did not play in their team's final game, with their final two games, the three games, the four games, etc. And the composite batting average for the last five plate appearances of all of these players, all 141 of them, is 286. 286. Doing the math, if you add up the 44 plus 36 plus 10, etc., you get 110 players, 78%, achieved a 300 batting average with exerted effort by not playing. The exerted effort was looking for a comfortable seat on the bench. Here's some other observations. 141 players total had 300 batting averages, and 34 had 299. So the 300 to 299 ratio is 4.15 to 1. Okay? Pope and Simonson had 3.68 to 1, which they said nearly 4 to 1. Players who played in their final in their team's final game. 75 players had 300 averages, and 27 had 299. The 300 to 299 ratio is 2.78 to 1. Well, it's no longer nearly 4. Players who played in their team's final game in its entirety. 31 players had 300 averages, 19 had 299. The 300 to 299 ratio is now 1.63 to 1. Wow, it's no longer, a glory thinking, glorious. And then let's look at the 31 players who did bat 300. 18 of them were actually retired in their final plate appearance. It was not a do or die 300 or bust situation. Each had his cherished 300 batting average locked up. It was not a behavior influencing challenge. Three of the players walked in their final plate appearance. Each had a perilous 300 in hand. Had they been retired, they would have lost their 300 batting average. 10 players came through with, the other 10 players came through with a clutch hit in the 300 or bust challenge to claim the crave for 300 batting average. Here's my final conclusion. Most of the influenced behavior exerting effort is not clutch hitting. Most of the influenced behavior is choosing not to play. And then with regard to the statement near the end of their article, kind of buried in the end of their article, that the high percentage of 299 hitters is at least partially explained by batters ending the season prematurely. It's mostly explained by batters ending their season prematurely. That's it. Thank you so much. Any questions? I'll be happy to answer them. Let's see. Well, maybe. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I wouldn't be surprised. I do know that Bobby Abreu went into the last game of the season needing a hit to bat 300. He got the hit, and it put him at 5-6. So he actually went from 299.4 to 301, okay, or rounded up to 301, and he had 29 home runs, so he could afford one more out and still bat 300, and he did. He batted and he hit a home run, and then he quit. Then he left the game with the 30 home runs and a 302 batting average, something like that. So I wouldn't be surprised at that. And I do know that in the 1950s, Mickey Mantle played. Trying to get to 100 RBIs, and then came out keeping his 300 without getting the 100 RBIs. So those are two examples I'm aware of. So, yes, sir.
Yeah, I was kind of expecting that you were going to wind up where you got to. That it was more a matter of people dropping out. So I'm glad that hunch was confirmed. So thank you for doing that. I was also a little curious why the 299 batting average. In the final at bat was a little bit higher by maybe tipping the scales. Like, hey, Charlie, can you throw me one right down the middle so I can get a hit on my last at bat? When usually last at bats probably aren't going to count for much.
Yeah, that may be. The last at bat of the season. It's the last. You know, if it's the last game, oftentimes take the rest of the day off. I think that may have been the case for. I don't know this, but I'm guessing that would have been the case for players who had 29s. And were replaced, and could have batted and gotten a hit to go 300. That's the end of the season. I don't care. I mean, that may have been that one. Don't know, but that's a thought. Yes, sir.
Yeah, hi. Your talk reminds me of the anecdote of when Ted Williams' manager offered to bench him up for the doubleheader. He was about 0.39965, whatever it was, and then he chose to play and went 6-for-8 that day. And ended up at 406. I have two questions for you. One, were any of the players that you listed here have any type of incentive clause in their contracts about making extra money, a bonus with the hit 300. Also, did you take a look down and you have the numbers truer than the Pope Silas? And was there any chronological change to the pattern? So did you take a look at 1920 to 2022 and see if there was any chronological pattern within this data set?
Sure. To answer your first question, I don't know of any incentive clauses. There may have been there. There could be an incentive for the future contract. Okay, I hit 300, so now I can get more money. Okay, that may be there. I remember in the 1950s, maybe 57, 58, Norm Seaburn had a 299 average, and Casey Stengel, the manager of the Yankees, asked him. He said, "If you reach 300, I can take you out of the game if you want." And Seaburn says, "No, that'll be your choice." He says, "No, it's your choice." And so Seaburn then went 2 for 2, and he went to Stengel and says, "Yeah, I'll take me out." So he knew what he was at, and he wanted to be taken out to get to preserve the 300. And back in that time frame, players were on year by year contracts. So it would have he could then say, "Yeah, I hit 300." The other question about chronological effect. There certainly was a chronological effect for the 300 to 299 ratio. And it in the earlier days, in the 20s, it was less than 1-to-1. So the players back in the 20s decade, there were more 299 hitters than there were 300 hitters, which tells me that, that wasn't a goal, or not a strong enough goal. It did get higher, but it dropped again. So that's all I can do with answer. That's how I can answer your question there. Yes, sir.
Yeah, the Edmund Reeves in 1975, that might account for some of the large increase during that period. My question was, you mentioned several players were sitting games out at the end of the season. How many of those players were on playoff teams when they might have intentionally been rested because you don't want to get hurt and you want to get them ready for the playoffs? Did you consider that?
Yes, I did. And I don't remember all of them. I know that that Rusty Greer, who was hit by a pitch with 2 games to go, that he did not play those last 2 games, and so therefore he kept his 300. And in the article that I read about that, he said if the next game was a playoff game, I'd be playing. So he would have played if it was actually the playoff game. But now, since he's got, he'll rest his whatever his elbow or whatever was hurt by the pitch ball. I wrote an article our Baseball Records Committee newsletter on players who achieved a 300 batting average by not playing, and in there I do mention players who cost their team money by not playing. Back in the 50s and 60s, I forget how far it went up, maybe even the 70s, you got money for where your team finished. So the first division team, they would get the first four teams, the World Series, the pennant winner, second, third, and fourth place teams, they would get a share of the World Series receipts. And so it was important to get to fourth place, or if you could get fourth rather than the fifth, do it. And if you're a 300 hitter, you should be playing because you're better than a 250 hitter. Okay. And there were some players who sacrificed their money that they could have helped it. If their team had won when they had played, their team would have had more. Their players would have had more money, and they didn't do it. Other players did play. They sacrificed the 300. I mentioned in last year's talk that both Granny Hammer and Gus Bell had 300 averages going into the last game. They were both, so the Phillies and the Reds are both buying for fourth place, the last playoff money. payout money. And so they both played the whole games. They would not have played, because Bell the previous year did not play when he hit 300. He's had out the last game to protect it. So, and both Bell and Hammer ended up losing the 300s. And I think the Reds won the fourth place there. So, anything else? Any other questions, thoughts, ideas? Cool. How much time do we have? 15 minutes? Anybody else have any ideas they want to talk about? Baseball records or so? In the last newsletter, Trent mentioned that, okay, yeah, go ahead.
I have a scorekeeping question. Is that
appropriate
for him?
A what?
Sure. Yeah, okay, so Bama strikes out, he's swinging, but a cage going. Bama strikes out swinging, you turn the gate backwards. How did the sport Bama call out on third strike and switch to the pound letter?
I've seen this discussed on Saber L, someone wrote in and suggested, and the moderator from Minnesota.
Stu.
Yeah, Stu. He said, yeah, you could. Someone wrote in saying you put it sideways, okay? And Stu said, that's fine if you want to, but whatever you want to do is fine. So you could do it, you know, the cage down or legs up, however you want to do it, okay? That way. So, yes, sir. Yes.
Do you have any idea how many games he could have sat out and achieved a career batting average of 300, but he played anyway and he's up below? Do you have any idea about anything?
I do. In fact, I wrote an article on that. It's in the a baseball research journal on the players who would have been in the 300 hitters club, the career 300 hitters club, had they not had to endure RBI flyouts that were outs and not sacrifice flies. So this is before 1954, okay? Is that right, 54? Yeah, and so Mantle, he would not have made it, but he was close as far as, you know, not playing games. If he had sat out a few games at the end, but Mantle, you know, he wanted the 536 home runs, right? And he got it. Well, McLean gave him the.
So he played to get the extra home run, and he gave up the batting average to get the home run.
Yes. 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 And he said that was his biggest regret in baseball, was losing his 300.
Now, of course, the pitcher was McLean or somebody that threw an easy pitch for him to get that pitch home run.
Right, right. Bill Freehan was the catcher. He said, your pitch is coming. And Mickey didn't believe him. And it came. He says, I told you, your pitch is coming. The next one came, and Mickey put it in the seats. I hadn't heard that. That's pretty cool. I wanted to mention what in the last newsletter, Trent mentioned that I think it was Rod Helton. He had a 400 batting average with 502 plate appearances at one point in the season, but then continued to play and then lost the 400. So if he had, you know, the season maybe had 20 games left to go, I don't know. But if he had stopped right then, he would have had a bona fide 400 batting average. Of course, it would have been, you know, without the, having not played all the games. And Williams, with his 406 in 1941, he said he wanted more than his toes on the line. When Cronin, his manager, said you could sit out, you know, with a 399, whatever it was, 6-7. So that's where the toenail 300 comes in, when you're below 300, but you're still above 29950. Interestingly about that, the toenail, I was talking to Steve Hurt, formerly from Elias and now with the sports something, ESPN Sports, asking him about the 300, and he said, you know that in Congress and for the Hall of Fame voting, you need 3/4, .75 or more. Nellie Fox ended up with, in his last vote with, by the baseball writers, ended up .7475. It's not .75, it's .747. You round it up? No, they don't round it up. He was not in the, he was not put in the Hall of Fame by the baseball writers. He went in some years later by the Veterans Committee. So it's, we conventionally, all of us, 29976 is 300, but you know, it's not. Williams would have said, no, it's not 300, and or something, because it wasn't 400 for him either. So, anything else? Super. Hey, thanks so very much.